Welcome to Talking Walking, hosted by Andrew Stuck from Rethinking Cities in London. Talking Walking brings you interviews with people from the world of walking, artists, activists, professionals, and those of us who have a passion for just taking a walk. In this interview, recorded over the internet, Martin Kohler, a professor in urban planning at Hafen City University in Hamburg, talks about the Harbour Safari, part guided walk, part exploration of a lost quarter of the city, part art intervention. This is again, but would you like to tell me what you do?
I'm Martin Kohler. I'm working at the Hafen City University, which is a university for urban planning and architecture, and I'm working there in a field where my research topics are how art and art practices can be integrated in urban development concepts and strategies. But apart from that, I'm working as an art curator for public spaces and public art as well, and one of these projects is the Hafen Safari, the Harbour Safari actually translated. It's a guided walk, guided tour through the transformation sites of the old harbour areas along temporary art installations.
Is the walk itself meant to be a performance, or is it merely a way to link between one art exhibition and another?
Oh, we haven't started in with such philosophical questions before. We just wanted to have a grip on this very vast array of land with some very crude and very, very weird artifacts in that. And I mean, there are not much roads, there are not much streets. You have to cross fences, you have to jump over some ditches. So, of course, the first thing was we had to walk. Nothing else seemed to be possible. But in the way of doing this now for the fifth year, we experience that it's much, much more than just a way of movement, a transportation kind of system. It is more something which will focus your perception, which transforms some single impressions to a kind of a narrative line, like a movie, more or less. And this special way of experiencing and open up this theoretic landscapes is actually much more than just a transportation mode. It's a performative task, maybe similar to some theatrical impressions.
I'm intrigued, especially as you've chosen these brownfield industrial sites or harbour areas. How did you come to choose those particular areas? Was it just because it's an area that's lain derelict for a while, or was it because it's about to be developed and you wanted to try to engage with the landscape before it was developed?
So, this, of course, it was an emotional attachment to that, but much more it's a political thing or political vision lying on these areas, especially in Hamburg, because Hamburg is, wants to be a growing city, and the borders, the boundaries of the cities are already reached. So the focus of the urban development now turns to this old harbor areas, which develop actually now in the middle of the city, and because the harbor for itself, so actually the modern harbour economy moved more to the west, you have some very empty places there. They should be transformed in the next 10 to 50 years to a new part of Hamburg. These are the sites and the spaces where the growing city of Hamburg will be implemented and realized in the next years. So at the moment, these are quite empty. They're really like you have some rotten asphalt surface, some vegetation grows in bushes, streets, and you have some.
They've never been areas where people had lived anyway. They've always been dockside or industrial sites.
Nobody lives there, and does not nowadays as well. But of course, they get transformed to at least parts of them for residential areas. But I think they have another kind of relation and link to the population and the people in Hamburg, because the harbour is actually the focus of the whole identity of this town and the city. I mean, the whole development of culture and economy and, of course, the urban design is linked to the harbour as a focal point of all these different processes. And so everybody has kind of has a relation to that, because it belongs to the specific culture and specific image of Hamburg. And that's why maybe some of these people are living there despite the fact that there are no residential areas. They're living more in a kind of emotional way on these sites.
There have never been residents there to consult. So through these walks and the art exhibits, you're actually colonising areas that have lain derelict for a while. Is there a purpose then in what you're doing in trying to develop human scale exhibits in these gigantic areas, or is there no limit to how big the scale of the exhibits are?
Maybe we are trying to lay down a kind of a path, a track to these very vast and very monumental sites and landscapes, because they don't have a human scale at the moment. They will have some when later when it's transformed to a residential area, by example. But at the moment, it's just lying left over. It's an urban wasteland. But it's much more than that. It's because I'm... if you know Henri Lefebvre, he analyzed the space in cities, and he distinguished between the social and the physical space. Actually, he expressed an idea about a second city which lies over the physical layer. And this second city is actually the dreams, the plans, the visions, and the memories of people attached to this place. This is something which is very rich on these sites we are walking, and you can't see them at the moment, because it's just a landscape, nothing else. With these walks, we hope that we get a kind of a pathway to this second city. And in that case, maybe you're right, that it transforms the monumental scale of this area to a human scale, so you can get a grip on these stories.
Do you start with commissioning artists or inviting artists to produce exhibits? Do you show them a space of land and say, you can set up your installation here? How does it work?
We are selecting some sites which seems possible for us. First, they have to be transformed in the next 2 to 10 years, at least according to the plannings or city plannings. Then we are looking for, are they accessible and can we reach them? Then we talk to the property owners. Some of them, we have to ask for the allowance to do that, for the permits. Then we are trying to find out as much as possible from the history of this place and the planning, the future planning of these places. With this information, we make an open call to all kinds of artists and invite them to one walk specially designed for the artists. Then we are just walking along the side. We are telling them things about the history and the planning and the future. And they return, and later on they can give us some suggestions and ideas what they want to do at which side, looking to which topic. And with a normal jury, we are selecting 15 to 20 of these art installations. Then we have 2 or 3 months' time. We are trying to detail the ideas to some installations you can build. And then for 3 weeks, we organize daily tours from a known place within the city to this unknown place with the art installations. And along these lines, we are telling actually to the people, the visitors, the same things we talk or we presented the artists before, but of course together with some information to the art installations. And after 3 weeks, actually the whole things, the art installations for itself or facilities get removed, and the place comes back to the original condition he had before. But within this place, within these 3 weeks, we get a lot of information from some people who worked there once before. Actually, they know the place very well, or they're the usual walk for after work. They get some very interesting information we can integrate in our tours for the next visitors. And after these 3 weeks, actually, just a different perception on this place exists and remains. The physical place for itself comes back to his original state, and we are producing a documentation with some pictures and from art installations and texts about the story and the history of this place and the future plannings.
Are outcomes from the safari fed into plans to redevelop the areas, or are they a separate initiative?
We are not planners, we are not politicians, and we don't perceive the safari as a political tool. It's much, much more kind of a platform where people can meet to talk about the political ideas and the urban planning ideas for this site. The harbour areas are not very common, and not very people visit these places. Actually, everybody talks about them, but nobody has been there. And so we start to bring these people, all kinds of a very broad range of people, from local politicians, from artists, from local inhabitants of surrounding residential areas. We all bring this wild bunch of people to this place, present the place for itself. These discussions about what is the idea or what is the potential of the place and how does it link to the structure of the city and what could be the task for new vision of this place. Actually, that's something which gets discussed in small circles all around the place. And later on, I mean, I don't know what really remains from the ideas developed there. Of course, you can see some of them. So look, much more people are interested in these places and they get involved a bit more in the usual political process to express their ideas and to make them work in the planning or in the realization of these places. It's hard to say what if the ideas get into the political process, but if we have a lot of signs that then on different channels they do.
Tell us, how much does it cost to run a safari? For you to commission the artwork, and do you pay the artists to create the installations?
Our safari was the biggest, was around €50,000. This is not the real budget. We are paying all the people helping us, all the artists, with some real money and a lot of kind of romantic money, which is more the idealistic thing to participate in a very cool project, in a way, very, very important project for Hamburg.
Can I ask, who is your funder of this artistic intervention?
Each year we have to find out, or actually we have to find some supporters, some funders, and usually they're coming from the cultural department, from a city, some local as the municipalities, for example, some private persons, some companies running a business in a way linked to landscape architecture or urban design. Every year it's the same thing, they're running trying to raise some money for this project.
As a participant to go on a safari, do you pay a ticket price or is that free?
Like a normal city tour, you have to pay €5 and then you get a little ticket, you get a map of the area, there's some basic information about the history, the artworks, and then we guide you once along the whole site.
You've been doing this now for 5 years. Is this always in the same 3-week period?
Well, the first year was in July, but then we changed to August.
And how do people get to hear about it?
We have a newsletter, we have some emails, we have a lot of artists which are spreading the news for their fans. And of course, we have some appearance in the public press and some posters stretched, sticked all in the city.
Is it the same piece of land that you return to each year?
The idea, we want to present this thing as new places. And that's the basic idea about the safari as well. I mean, of course, it's a play, it's a game. Nobody expects to have a real safari in harbor of Hamburg, but we label it like that. So we are going to new sites all the time as well. It's restricted very much on where we find a site which is possible for us. And actually, we started in the south and cross the whole harbor area, which is around 60 kilometers to the north, and now we are coming back again to the middle of this whole huge site.
What drew you into getting artists to exhibit in this space and then to lead guided walks on the safari?
I have some doubts about city planning and urban planning as just a rationalist system of trying to build buildings and factories somewhere. I think the city for itself is a collection much more of stories and memories than just of physical artifacts like buildings. And the important question is actually which stories are lying on this, or how do different groups of people interpret this landscape, what is important to them. And to work with artists in this case, trying to get them interested in this process, transforming the place all the time. It has a potential that they can create some work which is going much more, much beyond the usual urban planning, which can show some perspectives which are trying to kind of a crystallization point for these different stories of the place. And actually, that's the idea, or that's my interest in why I'm working with artists and art in such a very tri-field of urban planning.
Where are you going next? Are you going to continue with the safaris, or are you working on other issues or initiatives?
We have found a wonderful site. There's a big highway crossing once the harbour, because the land is a swamp, or was swamp actually. It's on some pillars for 4 kilometres. And it crosses the harbour at a very industrial-like atmosphere and landscape, where you have these huge container terminals. And next to these container terminals, there you have an old church from the old village, which has to be removed for these container terminals. You have there, Joseph Beuys has done art installation at these places. Straight under this highway, there's a small fuel station for the truck drivers meeting there and having a coffee in a very rough atmosphere there. And this is the site where we want to go the next summer. But there's a difference, and maybe that does lead us back to your first question. Last year we haven't done a safari because we wanted to have a kind of a 1 year to reflect and to think about all the experiences from the last 5 safaris, and we wanted to do something new, because for us it's a more kind of, we don't get paid for that, and so we want to experiment not with the art but also with the whole concept, because these walks are already an art intervention, actually. It is a performance that we actually should combine them, the artworks and these walks. So now, next summer, we will have just a safari on 4 weekends. And for each weekend, we want to realize one specific integration of this, the information and the artwork in between. So that we have the hope that we can extend the range of artists, by examples, now to people from theater, to people are writing stories, to people from literature, as well as the usual sculptures and installation art we have in the last 5 years.
You've been listening to Talking Walking, brought to you by Rethinking Cities in London. In this episode, you've heard from Martin Kohler. If you have any views on this interview or any walking issues, we'd love to hear from you. Just follow the links on the talkingwalking.net website. We look forward to having you along for future episodes of Talking Walking. Written, recorded and produced by Andrew Stark of Rethinking Cities, our graphic artwork was designed by Ian Martin of Aardvark Graphics, and the music was composed and recorded by Simon Sanders at Easytronic.